When it comes to compensation for the big oil spill, the devil may be in the details.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Bill Radke. That $20 billion compensation fund for victims of the big Gulf oil spill opens for business today. 35 offices across the Gulf states will begin to accept claims from people and businesses that lost money in the disaster. The man in charge of the payouts is promising fairness and more generous treatment than claimants might get by suing BP for damages. But some are already complaining about the fine print. Marketplace's Amy Scott has the latest.
Critics are worried some rules favor BP. Anyone who opts for a lump sum settlement later this year will give up the right to sue the company. Those who file claims for short-term emergency payments can still take BP to court. In a conference call with reporters yesterday, the head of the fund, Kenneth Feinberg, said the restriction was his idea because it gets money into people's hands faster.
It is not in your interest to tie up you and the courts in years of uncertain, protracted litigation when there is an alternative.
You may remember Feinberg as the so-called pay czar, appointed to oversee executive compensation at bailed-out banks. He also ran the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund, where he placed similar restrictions on the money. Still, victims may be able to sue other companies involved in the spill after the six-month mark. They include the owner of the rig and several contractors. Hundreds of lawsuits have already been filed related to the spill. BP has paid out $375 million in compensation, separate from the fund that opens today. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
With no big financial reports to move the markets today, can Wall Street reverse two straight losing weeks? Let's do the numbers. If Asian shares are any indication, it'll shape up to be a lackluster day. Tokyo's Nikkei shed nearly 0.75%, but stocks on the major European exchanges are modestly higher, between 0.33% to 0.5%. The Dow will be coming off a 57-point loss on Friday. And one more number that might leave a bitter aftertaste. Speculators have pushed coffee prices to a 12-year high this morning. They're betting storms will hurt this year's harvest of Arabica beans. Well, picture this scenario. You left your house this morning without any cash, just when it looks like you're going to need more money to buy that cappuccino. You could try your cell phone. Bank of America and Visa are getting ready to try a pilot program in New York to let some customers pay for stuff with their phones. Marketplace's Janet Babin explains.
Here's how it works. Bank of America gives you a chip that attaches to your smartphone. A device in the store reads the chip, then deducts the purchase from a customer's bank account. So how is this better than a debit card? Patrice Perret is a partner at Nexit Ventures, a venture fund that focuses on mobile technology.
It's not clear what the benefit is to bump your phone against a fancy terminal as opposed to swiping your card, because it doesn't speed the transactions.
Paying with your phone is popular in the rest of the world, where fewer people have bank accounts. Analyst Charles Golvin at Forrester Research says banks and credit card companies see fees in the mobile future.
If cash payments are suddenly turned into credit or debit transactions, they now carry a percentage transaction fee for all of that volume.
Bank of America declined to comment on how much of a transaction fee it'll charge merchants during the pilot program. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality.
Maybe you've noticed more solar panels are going up on rooftops in neighborhoods across America. Not to short-circuit a good idea, but there are growing concerns about the safety of those panels. That's why Underwriters Laboratories, the group that certifies the safety of many products, has designed a new training program for electricians who install solar panels. From North Carolina Public Radio, Leonita Inge reports.
Historically, UL, or Underwriters Laboratories, has certified products. Now it's certifying people. Brad Smock is in charge of training these electricians in the technology of a solar panel, also known as a photovoltaic system, PV for short.
So when you walk out of a classroom here, you'll actually be able to go install a PV panel and a PV system, tie it into the grid, and start producing power in, at a residence or on a commercial site.
And as with any electrical system, there's always the risk of fire.
April 5th, 2009, the roof of a Target store exploded and caught fire.
That's Pete Jackson, chief electrical inspector for the city of Bakersfield, California, where the fire occurred.
Originated with the photovoltaic system that had been installed on the roof.
No one was seriously hurt, but Jackson says it could have been a lot worse.
What we realized and what the firefighters realized was they couldn't shut off the supply of electricity because the sun was out and electricity was produced, and it's major amounts.
Jackson and other electrical inspectors from around the country met at UL to help put the finishing touches on installation standards for the incoming class. And if there's one thing everybody agrees on, there has to be industry standards. Steve Callen heads the Solar Center at North Carolina State University.
There isn't a lot of agreement nationally on what that should look like. In fact, there are lots and lots of programs, as the focus on energy has increased in the U.S., lots and lots of programs that have kind of sprung up out of thin air.
Callen says the new training program will add credibility to the solar panel industry and to the renewable energy movement as well. UL is expecting to train more than 1,000 technicians and electricians in its first year. I'm Leonita Inge for Marketplace.
And finally this morning, you can find all kinds of articles on the web about the benefits of establishing a relationship with your bank. But none of them I saw mentioned the importance of keeping your priorities straight. I point this out because of a survey that was released over the weekend which suggests folks in Britain are more committed to their banker than their significant other. The UK bank Santander found that the average customer reports staying loyal to their current bank more than 16 years. While their longest relationship averages around 14 years. Which raises the question, who then gets custody of the free toaster? I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.